author Kelly Fryer was telling about the time that she was in seminary and listening to an uninteresting lecture. Rob, you ever have an uninteresting lecture in seminary? You ever have an uninteresting lecture in seminary? 90-95%, yeah. That's about, well, it was also beautiful out, and everyone wanted to be outside. Well, apparently the professor sensed that because he suddenly just closed his notebook and stopped talking. He wasn't going to waste one more breath on us, she said. But before leaving the lecture hall, he picked up a piece of chalk, and going to the blackboard, he drew a huge arrow pointing straight down. He stood back and told the class, "If you understand that, then you know everything you need to know about what it means to be a Christian." And he turned and left the lecture hall. Well, everyone just sat there kind of stunned for a minute or two looking at that arrow pointing downwards. And all she could think was, he thinks we're all going to hell. Must have been a Baptist seminary. Well, I don't know. But the next class that met, the professor began his lecture by drawing that same big arrow pointing down. And this time, everyone was paying attention. Here's what he means, he told them. God always comes down. God always comes down. And there's nothing that we can ever do to turn that arrow the other way around and make our way up to God. God came down in Christ, and God still comes down in the bread and the wine, in the water, in the fellowship of believers. God always comes down. And that's an important thing for us humans to remember, that God condescends to us. And yes, I mean the word condescends, both in its positive and its negative sense, because the journey from us to God begins and ends with God's actions. God initiates our journey of faith, and God closes it at our death. Every step of the way, it's God's actions that bring us to faith and grow us in faith and hold us in faith. And to think or do or act differently, well, that just leads to what we preachers like to call good old-fashioned sin. To think otherwise, as my mom would say, you know, my mom is a classic one-liner. I think I've shared some of them with you already. My mom would just say, well, the sheer unmitigated gall, or hubris, or some nerve, or chutzpah, or other less polite company phrases that all mean the same thing. Because we can be cocky and arrogant people, and that extends to our relationship with God. And sometimes we forget about that one-way sign pointing down and delude ourselves into thinking that it was us who figured out that we needed God and then went and found him. That we deserve to be in relationship with God as a right of ours. Or that being in relationship with God is something that we've earned. It was St. Augustine who said that pride is the basis and the root of every sin that humans commit. Now digest that for a minute. Pride is the root of every sin that we commit. Do you agree? Pride in yourselves, pride in our accomplishments, pride in providing for our own needs. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. And you know, I love that on Pentecost Sunday, the two passages, Old and New Testament, that are held up together are the Tower of Babel and the story of Pentecost. That's just awesome. There's a well-documented history of nerve in competing for the title of the tallest structure in the world. Now, before 1998, Chicago's Sears Tower was the undisputed leader. But when the Trin Petronas Towers were built in Malaysia in 98, they stood 20 stories shorter than the Sears Tower. So the builders added to the height of the building by 33 feet by adding spires on top of each tower. Well, if spires count, why not give the title of tallest structure to the TV antenna in Blanchard, North Dakota, which is over 2,000 feet tall? Back in 2004, the Taipei 101 skyscraper in Taiwan was completed. It stands 101 stories proud, 1,667 feet high. And they built it with the express intent of making it the largest building in the world. So then, not to be outdone, the Burj Dubai skyscraper, which hasn't been finished yet, was going to be taller than Taipei 101 by 500 feet. Tower bragging rights. Yes, folks, it exists. So much that there is a regulatory board, I am not making this up. It's called the Council on Tall Buildings and Urban Habitats. They have several categories that you can compete in. With antenna, without antenna, highest occupied floor level, habitable buildings versus structures, all different kinds of things. That these categories even exist is a bad joke played on prideful humanity. We modern people are a crazy pride-filled lot, aren't we? But we hardly invented sheer unmitigated gall now, did we? If we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, what we find is that this whole skyscraper race started about 3,000 years ago. The Tower of Babel was the first skyscraper, a tower with its top in the heavens. And Genesis tells us two notable things about this tower. First, it was part of a major effort for the people to make a name for themselves, to claim bragging rights. And secondly, the city and the tower would give them a place of permanence in the world. Otherwise, as they said, we'll be scattered abroad and lose our identity. They would be standouts among the peoples of the world. See, the problem isn't the tower. And the problem isn't in being industrious people and learning to be good engineers and builders. Those are all good things. The problem, just like the devil, is in the details. Because first of all, the tower was built to be a monument of self-reliance. Haven't we all wished to build that monument of self-reliance in our own lives? The phrase, let us, shows up three times in the passage, and each time it's an alarm of independence and egocentrism, of bragging rights in the worst possible sense of the word. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian church this: but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Now, let's face it, in our culture, is self-dependence considered a sin and self-reliance? Absolutely not. It's a lauded virtue. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Rely on good old-fashioned Yankee, well, I'm a Yankee, I don't think you folks are, good old-fashioned Yankee ingenuity, and make a name for yourself. Be self-reliant and take care of you and yours, and let them take care of themselves. Secondly, the tower was built to make a name for the people. And that is not in God's plans. God tells Abraham chapters later that he will make of Abraham a great nation and bless him and make his name great so that you will be a blessing. God is the one who gives us a name. And God is the one who blesses us. And God only blesses us so that we can bless others. Everything we've accomplished, everything that we are, everything that we have are the products and instruments of God's blessing. And they're meant to be used to bless others, not something we can name after ourselves, not something to make us respected and envied by our peers, not something we can use to bless ourselves, not something to clump us together against others. And in response to this self-reliance and self-focus that began at Babel, God came down. Yes, back to the beginning of things, God comes down. We do not go up. God came down to see the city and the tower. And his response to this tower of hubris or sheer unmitigated gall or pride is to confuse and scatter. We, in our pride, choose to be of one mind and one way and clump together, to bless ourselves and those like us. But God's will is for us to celebrate the differences between us and scatter us across the earth to tell the good news. In our pride, we clump together and exclude. In being given forgiveness in Jesus Christ, we are blessed and forgiven and scattered to bless the whole world. In Acts, Jesus tells the believers that after Pentecost, they will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is telling his followers that they are going to be scattered and sent out, not clumped together and claiming the bragging rights of their own making. Today we celebrate Pentecost, the inbreaking, the pouring down on us of God's presence, which is at work in our lives and among God's people, enabling us to live out that same missional calling given to the early church, given to Abraham, to Israel, to the prophets, to the disciples, and to the first church. This passage reminds us of a God who repeatedly comes down to us in creation at Babel, in Christ, and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. At Babel, a common language meant unity built by humans around self-sufficiency and pride in themselves and their accomplishments. It meant people gathered together to bless themselves rather than scattering to bless others. And so God scattered and sent out, which is God's purpose for us too. In the Acts story, Babel is reversed. People are reunified by the Holy Spirit and language barriers are removed. The Spirit calls us together so that we can be strengthened and then scattered and sent out to share the good news. We worship a Christ who came down to be with us, tore down all barriers between us, and removed anything that separated us from God. And Pentecost reminds us that the same Christ who unifies us in one faith scatters at the same time, scatters us across the world to spread the good news, scatters us across our community to unite us in one faith, not in pride, scatters us across our neighborhood to bless those who are in need because we've been blessed. But when we choose to stay here with each other, helping only ourselves, building a name and a reputation for ourselves, then we're living in Babel Town. But when we scatter across our community, when we use our blessings to bless others, when we care more about people knowing Christ's name rather than our own, when we give a cup of cool water in Christ's name and not our own, well then, welcome to Pentecost. Amen.